Welcome back to the Radio Academy podcast. I'm Hayley Hayes, your host, and today we're delving into 28 Days-ish Later, a bold BBC podcast series exploring the menstrual cycle. Host India Ruckerson takes us on a journey, unravelling science, drama, history and personal stories in between. It won gold at the British Podcast Awards for Best New Podcast. It helps listeners discover how understanding your hormones can change your life one day at a time. Get ready for an eye-opening conversation with me and India, who quite honestly is just an inspiration. Without further ado, let's dive right into this illuminating conversation.
Hi. Yeah, you. Hello. Hi. Don't go away. I've got a quick couple of questions for you, if you don't mind. So, how much do you think you really know about the menstrual cycle, beyond the period bit? Did you know, par exemple, that the hormone estrogen makes you smell better? Or that your hormones change the way your brain works hour by hour? And that you could even biohack them to maybe, I don't know, bag a job or run a PB? As you can see, we are really on the back foot here, all of us. I'm India Ruckerson, and when I found out about the amazing things that happen in our wombs and brains through the cycle, my mind was so blown that we got to work making this podcast, 28-ish Days Later, for BBC Radio 4. 28 episodes, each charting every day of the very approximate 28-day cycle. It looks at the science of our bodies and the way that we've been treated through history, and discovers how understanding our cycle can change our lives.
So we're here today to talk about your podcast, which is 28-ish Days Later. It delves into the intricacies of the menstrual cycle, science, drama, personal stories. Starting from scratch, what inspired you to crack on with this podcast?
I was trying to figure out how to get pregnant, in that obviously I know the basics. But I was just thinking, I was like, maybe I was just sort of being a sort of true millennial and wondering how if there were ways I could optimize it. It's like, you know, obviously we know there are things you can do for heart health or brain health or liver health, or it's just, there must be something you can do for your womb. What's the health thing that we can do for our wombs and our uteruses? So I sort of started having a read around and look around, and I just was really angry and almost rolling around the floor in incredulous laughter at how little I knew at the age of 33 about my own bodies, and just how all powerful the biological workings of the uterus and the associated hormones actually are, and how that impacted all sorts of things in my life I'd never even considered, like my weight and my exercise and my memory, obviously my moods, but to what extent, and just the questions kept on going. And I found myself in some sort of like Alice in Wonderland, wibbly wobbly rabbit hole of hormones, and just thought, no, I can't be alone in not knowing this. And also, I can no longer be, you know, this can't be the case anymore. We've got to sort of tell everybody. So yeah, I was just really lucky that some excellent people totally understood that it would be a great series. I'm really lucky that Radio 4 and BBC Sound said, yes, why don't we make it 28 episodes long, which was a joy. A real joy to hear them say.
I have to ask, do you ever make podcasts that a man might listen to?
I know for a fact many, many men have listened to 28-ish Days Later. We just made another series called Witch for the BBC as well, which was 13 half hours, all about the word witch and kind of how it shaped the world. And yes, the next series is on birth and pregnancy and, you know, the first year of life of a child. They look like, I can totally see how it looks like these are three series for women, or, you know, people who identify as women, or people who bleed, or or birthing people. But they're like crucial to men. You know, all of these things also impact the lives of men. And quite a few men got in touch. Quite a lot of men have got in touch about 28-ish Days Later to say they've listened to it and it's really changed their way, their relationship with their partner, or they've got daughters or nieces, or and it's been really, really important to them to hear all of this, and opened up conversations within their families, with their friends, and that's the point, isn't it? That's, we try, when we make these series, we try really hard to think about the entry points for people that are less obvious, you know. So with the new series, it's not about, you know, it's not cozy. It's not about being a mum. The series should be really challenging to everybody, and will say something bigger, hopefully, about society and about each other and how we treat each other. And will be full of, you know, who doesn't want fascinating history and science that we didn't know before that shines a whole new light on our world? Who doesn't want that? And of course, maybe it looks like it's not for men, but men listen. They definitely listen, and it impacts them too. So, but also, lots of stuff is out there for men. So that's okay too. You know, they can go listen to something else. There's loads of stuff out there for men.
But I suppose there is a challenge there, isn't there? Because even without the male-female aspect, there's still quite a social taboo about talking about your periods. Do you think this podcast is all about creating that safe space for open conversations?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a really, really good point. And I think something, I suppose two things there. One, we wanted to really approach this topic very, very confidently with everybody that we spoke to about it. Everyone we approached to be on the series and everyone that we interviewed, you know, there was no umming and ahhing or stepping around things. There was no squeamishness or like, ooh, cheeky, naughty, talking about blood. It was none of that. We were like, we are being very confident. We're going to talk about the facts and the science and the body and the experience and talk about it in really open, very confident ways. And that's really important. It's not about creating a safe space in that, you know, it feels safe to talk about it here. It's about changing the tone and the way and the approach that we take to talking about things like menstruation. And also, I think as well, I really felt making the series and when we like began making it, there's lots of great work that has gone on to say, to try and break down stigma and taboo of periods. But there's a point at which that conversation, just talking about periods of stigma and taboo, doesn't move the conversation on. And you've got to get past that. So in a way, lots of the series wasn't about the stigma and the taboo because we were like, let's just move on from that and just give the information and be like really open and confident and like carry it forward. It's great that we challenge stigma and taboo, but the only way to do that actually is to put great knowledge and confidence in people's hands.
Every episode you focus on a slightly different aspect or a slightly different symptom, if you like. How did you plan for that? Because it almost sounded like some of the conversations you had were quite even surprising to you because you didn't really know what you were going to discover until you'd had the conversations almost, I guess.
Well, it's a mixture of the two, isn't it? In that there was loads of research we did before we started recording. Loads and loads and loads and loads. But still, you know, as much as I and Ellie Sands, the series producer, and George McAndrew, who's one of the other producers, could research and look into it, we were still always going to be surprised, I think, when you get to actually sit down for like 2 hours with a leading, you know, scientist into estrogen. Of course, you're going to still find out something new, or you're going to ask questions that take you down some sort of different route, and it surprises you. We had a really clear structure to work from which was the really useful starting point. And that clear structure was a 28-day imaginary textbook menstrual cycle. We know that that's extremely average and not many people sort of actually have a 28-day cycle. Well, actually, quite a few people do, but, you know, it's just an average. People, it can be wildly different from that. But that was helpful because we've got a structure there to pin things on. So then we begin our research and we start looking into the different issues or problems or topics that might come up that relate to that particular day of that particular cycle. And it's not like there's something fascinating happening on every single day of the cycle. Obviously, there are kind of like brilliant flashpoints like ovulation or when progesterone drops off or when estrogen starts to rise, or, you know, there are like these big moments in the cycle. But then some days not much is happening, but you can kind of figure out. It's really fun. I love structuring these big series. I think it's really, really fun because what you're trying to do is you're trying to layer whatever your kind of basic structure is. Let's say your A plot, in which case we had the actual cycle. And then you've got your subplots. You've got the history and you've got the social stuff and then you've got the political stuff. And, you know, and you're looking at how it's just really fun to kind of piece together, okay, are we going to start, when we start, are we going to start way back? Or are we going to start in like medieval period? Or should we start in the 1980s? And, you know, kind of looking at the historical points that you want to make and trying to match them up with the topics and the conversations that can be sparked from each day of the cycle.
And it sounds like you intentionally go after topics that you have a personal reason to find out more about. So there's an instinctive curiosity in you. Is that how you tend to navigate your career?
I've definitely been really lucky in the last few years to be able to do the topics I desperately love. But that said, I've also really pushed all the time in my career. When you feel something, you just get an idea or you get onto a topic and you just feel it so deep in your waters that you can barely sit still. You're like, oh, you just kind of, and maybe it's just because you've only just found out about it, but you know, then you find out there's already been 700 documentaries made on it and it's actually not the right time. You have to park it. You think it's fascinating, but no one else can quite understand the story. And there's just something very particular about you and your context and everything in your life that means that you are fascinated in it, but actually it's not really going to have that bigger reach. And you then have to suck it up. And, you know, it's just the way that ideas work. Sometimes you hit on an idea that is really universal, really of the moment and really, really important, and that hasn't been done. And that's glorious. But it's rare. But yeah, I think the last few years I've been super lucky to just chase down and make the things that I love. And I think in audio particularly, you know, don't you, if the person bringing you that content or presenting it is really invested, that it's very hard to get much past a listener in terms of authenticity, I think. I listen to quite a lot of podcasts and I can just... maybe I'm a bit judgmental, but I can really, really tell when there's somebody who's just been sort of, you know, nicely, brilliantly bought in to present something or look at something, and they're not quite in it. They quite love it. And I love listening to stuff where people love it too. And that makes me sort of sit up and listen, and it makes me engage with it. And I think that's really, really important, you know, like authentically loving and wanting something to be made.
So you won gold at the British Podcast Awards. How did that feel? Were you surprised?
Yeah, really surprised. I've been nominated in projects quite a bit. I never actually won. So I just sort of had this kind of always the bridesmaid, never the bride mentality. But also, I do think just being nominated for an award is winning in itself. So I don't have any expectations beyond that to go on and win. I think it's that if you think about how many podcasts are out there now and how many people enter awards and things like that, it's just fantastic to get a nomination. But winning was really, really, really glorious because I think the team, we are just so, so proud of 28 Days Later. You know, it's reached so many listeners, huge numbers. I don't think I'm allowed to say, I was about to say them, but I don't think I'm actually allowed. It's all like, you know, confidential. Huge, huge numbers. It's done huge, huge, you know, like reached many, many, many people. And I get emailed about it all the time, DMing, just saying, this changed my life. I did this. I finally went to my doctor and I got a diagnosis of this. And I pushed for a consultant and I got a second opinion. And it's just wonderful for it. You know, I really see it like its own being. It's kind of out there in the world now doing its thing without us, without our input. It's like this sort of organism that's sort of crept out there, out of our control. And hopefully we'll be there for a long, 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 long time as a resource for people. And it keeps doing. So for it, for the podcast, I think it was a great, great, great recognition. It's such a privilege when you get to make something that genuinely changes people's lives and changes the conversation in some way. And 28-ish Days Later has done that. And it's lovely for other people to see that it has done that because we know it, but it's good to be able to tell other people.
So just before I let you go, you've told us about your new podcast that you're working on. How do people keep in touch and find out when they're releasing?
Oh, you're probably best to find me on Instagram. So yes, you can follow me there at IndieRecton.
Big thanks to India for her time today. Check out 28 Days-ish Later. You can find it on BBC Sounds. Don't forget to subscribe to the Radio Academy podcast if you haven't done already, so you don't miss the next episode. Until then, bye for now.